Okay? Okay, so turn to Luke chapter 15. This morning we're going to look at what a loving God we have. And, you know, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And, you know, nobody twisted God's arm, did they? Nobody held a gun to his head or a knife to his throat. Actually, he thought it up himself. He decided that he would save us, which is pretty incredible. But here in chapter 15 is the parable of the forgiving father, and I thought it was pretty interesting. And so we're going to read it, and it starts in verse 11. And if you go back to the beginning, it talks about how he's talking. All the publicans and sinners came to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So he speaks some parables to them in response, because, you know, they looked down upon him. They said, you know, well, he's hanging out with all the dregs of society. He's hanging out with,
sinners.
Yeah, the homeless and the sinners and all these other people. And so he said in verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, so he says, and many days after, the young gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know what riotous living is?
We drink and be merry for tomorrow we
die. Well, it's even worse than that. It's, I didn't write down the Greek word, but it's ridiculous living or ridiculous excess. Incorrigible, unrestrained, dissolute, undisciplined, all those things. You know, it's just like you just go crazy. Okay, well, we don't want to find out the details of that. Okay. So that's what he did. He went and he took his journey and he wasted his money on riotous living. And when he had spent all that, all there was, he arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. You know, he spent all his money partying and having fun, eating, drinking, you know, whatever. And then it all was gone. And then there was a famine. So there wasn't anything around. So when there's a famine, when there's a shortage of stuff, what happens? The price goes up, right? You know, the old supply and demand. You know, when there's less of things and there's greater demand, the price goes up. Well, he spent all his money, didn't he? So he started to be hungry. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. You know, swine are pigs, right? And in the East, pigs were looked down upon. And according to the law, they were not allowed to eat pork. Today, the Muslims also don't eat pork. And it was just, you know, they looked down upon it. They looked down upon the people that raised them and herded them. You know, when they feed pigs today, even they do what? They slop the pigs. They slop them. And you don't get in the way of the pigs when they're eating, because they become nuts and they eat anything that gets in their way. Okay, so he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country and who sent him in the fields to feed the swine. So he's pretty much down at the bottom of the barrel. He's hit rock bottom. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. The word fain is means to yearn or desire. It's, you know, King James English. But he desired, you know, he was eating filet and T-bone and drinking good wine, spent all his money, and now he's eating the leftovers, that they feed the swine. You know, they don't give them the corn. They give them the husks even, the junk, the leftovers. And so he would have desired to have filled his belly with the husk that the wine did eat, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, they looked down upon, they won't have anything to do with him now. And when he came to himself, which means what? Came to his right mind, yeah. When he realized what was going on, what position he was in, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, even the servants, the slaves in my father's house are better off than me. Wow. Pretty amazing. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Well, that's pretty wild, you know. I have sinned. He came to his right mind, and he got miraculously humble. That'll happen when you realize that you've been an idiot and you've done everything the wrong way, and it can humble you, can't it? So he became humble. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And of course, he sinned against heaven, meaning God, because he broke the law, right? He went against what his father would have wished for him, and he did things. He wasn't a good steward, and he just didn't care about anything but having fun. We would call that today being a hedonist. You know, just it's all about self-pleasure. There's lots of that in our society, isn't there? You know, it just doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, just as long as it feels good. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. So make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, that's what he's thinking in his mind. He said, you know, I sinned against you, God, and I sinned against my father. And he said, now I'm going to go home and I'll say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son, but I would like to be one of your slaves. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, his father was looking for him, wasn't he? He was hoping and praying for his son because the father never stopped loving. You know, and God's that way, isn't he? He never stops loving. It says that God so loved the world. It says in 1 Timothy that God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. So he's always looking for people to get saved. You know, we may look at people and say, well, you know, he doesn't deserve to be saved. But that's not God's point of view. And when we make a mistake, God is ready and willing to forgive us, isn't he? As a matter of fact, he's already forgiven us ahead of time. Because Jesus Christ already paid the price not only for what we did and what we were, but for what we are and do now and whatever we become and whatever we do in the future. It's all paid for. And that's pretty nice. So he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, it's pretty cool. He didn't change his tune once he got there and saw his father loved him. You know, he was honest and he remembered exactly what he had done. And he said, you know, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Just, you know, make me a servant. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And the ring on his hand means he accepts him back in the family. He's got the family ring, you know, and he is accepted not as a servant, but as a son. You know, he takes him back into the house. He loves him so much, even though son was a dope. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. You know, and let's have the best dinner possible and let's celebrate because my son has come home. He says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, and that's God's, that's, you know, this is to teach these Pharisees and Sadducees how loving God is. He doesn't look at people the way we look at people. What does it say in Romans chapter 2? Judge not, you know, because you're, why are you judging people for the same things that you do? You know, because we all sin. We all make mistakes. We're all stupid. We all do idiotic and ridiculous things at times, you know. And, you know, we look at things in one way, you know, well, this is worse than that. And I never stole anything or I never did this. But, you know, from God's point of view, it's all the same, isn't it? Sin is sin. Unbelief is unbelief. You know, the consequences on earth may be different. The consequences for what you do, you know, sometimes there's no consequence, isn't there? There's no consequence from God. The consequences come from whatever is going on in the world and from people. You may lose God's protection because you turn away from him and reject him. But he does his best no matter what. Okay. So, they're having this party. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Whole. You know, he received him safe. He was so thankful his son was unharmed. And he was angry. That's the elder son. He was angry. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He, you know, beseeched him. He tried to constrain him. Come in and join the party. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, thou, that I might make merry with my friends. What a great attitude. You know, sometimes we may have that attitude with God. Well, you know, God, I have sacrificed so much for you, and I have done so much for you, and I went out of my way for you. You know, we should just be so thankful that he even took us back. We should be so thankful that he loves us and is willing and wants to bless our lives. It's an honor and a privilege to do anything for God. That's what it is. I remember when I first went into the Way Corps and I worked, you know, at a department store, and I was an assist. I was a buyer. And right before I left, I got a job offer from this company. And it was really a really good job offer. It was from this really fancy company that made fancy robes and pajamas and swimwear for men. And they wanted me to be their salesman for the West Coast. I said, wow. But I was already committed to going to the Way Corps. You know, so I got in the Way Corps, and as I went a long way, it slipped into my mind, well, look what I gave up for God. I didn't give up anything for God. God did for me. I got the opportunity to learn the Word of God like I would have never learned before. I got to serve God and his people. I got blessed. But you know what? For a little while, that got in my brain. Oh, I'm such a good guy. It's ridiculous. See? You know, that we have the honor to even get together like this, to hear manifestations, to learn God's word, is just the most incredible opportunity and privilege that we could ever have. And I get to sit here and teach the word of God is just beyond belief. Nobody deserves to be able to do that. So he said, you know, how come you never did this for me, Dad? I've been the perfect son. I've done everything you asked, and, you know, I should be number one. You know, sometimes my sons, what do? We have the pictures up the wall, and sometimes they'll switch them and they'll put theirs at the top. They think that's funny. You know, who's number one? And they all say, well, Jeffrey's your favorite. He's number one. No, he's not. And we love you all. You know, but they get into these stupid things. Okay. So this guy, you know, I should be number one. I was faithful. I stayed home. I did all this work, and you never threw a party for me. And the father said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know, you're the number one son. And according to the law, you get everything. You are the master. You know, when I'm gone, you're in charge. It was meet or right that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. You know, and that's Jesus Christ. That parable was to teach these Sadducees and Pharisees that God's heart and love for man. And it doesn't matter what your position is on the earth, or where you came from, or who your parents were, or what your education was, or anything else. It has to do with you loving God and wanting to be his child, and to come back to him with humility and gladness of heart that you can serve him and love him. I wanted to go to Deuteronomy, just to look at what the law said, to put it in perspective a little bit. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, that goes on and talks about, you know, the firstborn son, and even if a man has two wives and he hateth the one wife and loveth the other, but if the one that he hateth has the elder son, he still is the one that gets the inheritance. Then in verse 18 it says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. What was the son in the parable? A glutton and a drunkard, right? And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, so shall put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That was the Old Testament. It was, you know, it was to protect Israel. It was to protect them when devil spirits would get in and take people and you know, do things. You know, they were supposed to die. So this father forgave him, right? This father forgave him and was willing to love him and take care of him. Let's go to 1 John. So our situation is a little different because we don't live under the law, right? But the truth of the goodness and the love of God towards us is still true, isn't it? God is a loving Father. And when we get off, when we go in the wrong direction or we make a mistake, he's still willing to take us back, isn't he? And all we need to do is be loving and humble before him. That whole thing in Peter where it talks about cast all your care upon him, well, the preceding context is humility, you know, being humbled before God. In John, 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of the love, chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Well, before we got born again, were we not, you know, we may not have been gluttons and drunkards, but we still were without God and without hope, weren't we? And we had sin nature. And, you know, so we were screwed. But it says that he loves us. And he loves us so much that we could be called the sons of God. You know, he took us in. He put the best robe on us. He gave us the ring. And it says the every time somebody gets born again, the angels have a party in heaven. It doesn't say that, but it says they make merry or rejoice or something. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be in the future. We have a hint. We have an idea of what we shall be, but we don't really fully see it. It says like we look in a glass darkly. But we shall be like him, like Jesus Christ, for we shall see him as he is. In 1 Peter, go back a couple of pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, God put an incorruptible seed in us. We can't lose it. What a great God. You know, all the stuff that he gave Adam was conditional, wasn't it? Everything that he gave Israel was conditional. Everything he gave us is unconditional. That's why it's unconditional love. You know, because he gave it to us, and once we got it, he never takes it back. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. How cool is God? Okay, I'll tell you how cool God is. You know, when we after we did prayer and manifestation, we were going to take the abundant sharing. I thought we should sing, "We've Got a Great Big Wonderful God." I said nothing. And then my wife, that's what she sang. You know, pretty cool. Okay, so chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in that parable, could anything separate that son from that father's love?
Yes.
No, nothing could, because he took him back, right?
Oh, right, but he could have chosen.
He could have chosen, but he chose to love that child no matter what. That's what it's teaching us, right? That God's love is unconditional. He's always willing to take us back. You know, now that was a mind blower for those guys in the law administration. You know, in light of the law, they couldn't grasp that. And yet Jesus Christ was what? He was the manifestation of God's love towards mankind. They couldn't take that either. They couldn't fathom that. They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't grasp how love. Yeah, you go back in the Old Testament, you look in places and God says, you know, all I want from you guys is to love me and to walk humbly and justly and do what I ask. You know, that you would have a heart to just obey me. You know, all the law stuff was just to explain to them the coming Messiah. But it was never God's desire to put them under the law. They just couldn't deal with anything. You know, in the beginning, the reason that he put laws in for divorce was because they kept divorcing everybody. So God had to put reins on them. You know, the reason that he put all the laws in was because, you know, they needed to be reined in. Look at them as Moses was on the mount. And immediately, well, he's not coming back. We need another God to take us back so we can go back into bondage. You know, it's so easy to want to go back into bondage. You know, and God doesn't want us to. He loves us, you know, but we have to stick to God's word if we want to stay free and liberated. Read Galatians. You know, why did you so easily get talked out of what I gave you? Why did you go back to bondage and slavery when I freed you from everything with my son, Jesus Christ? Amazing. See, and Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. You know, if we got to heaven, you know, and everybody got gathered together, and we might see some people there that we're going to be surprised at. You know, imagine if Hitler was there. Now, I don't know anything about whether he was born again or not. You know, I highly doubt it. But he could have been, you know, when he was a kid. Well, what happens then? Oh, my gosh. Are you going to give up your sonship and leave? I can't be here with this guy. You know, and sometimes believers have that attitude. I can't be here with that person. Well, you know, God is loving and forgiving. We're to be what? Imitators of God? Okay. Malachi chapter 3. Why am I going there? God loves us, and there's nothing we've done or will do or will ever do that will change God's love for us. God is constant. God is reliable. God is dependable. God is, well, what does it say in verse 6 of chapter 3? For I am the Lord, I change not. God changes not. What changes? Circumstances, situations. So the, what changed between Malachi and Romans? Jesus Christ and the new birth. That's what changed. But God, he didn't change. He's the same. He was as loving then in the Old Testament as he is now. Think about what he forgave David for. Wow. Now, if you go back and look at the law, should David have been stoned? Yes. But he turned back to God and was humble. And God forgave him. How about King Manasseh? King Manasseh in the Old Testament, you know, he put idols in the temple. He caused people to sin. He enjoyed people sinning, it says. And he encouraged them to sin. He shed innocent blood, meaning he killed Israelites, God's people, unjustly. He shed innocent blood. And then he gets taken and he gets put in chains and taken off to Babylon, thrown in prison. He turns back to God. He asks God's forgiveness and God forgives him. You know, and I think that's probably enough, right? And then he gets him out of jail and puts him back on the throne. That's ridiculous from our point of view, but not from God's point of view. And so we just need to see God from his point of view, how loving and forgiving and caring he is and how reliable he is. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Who are the righteous? Us. We are the righteous. He made us righteous. We have the righteousness of God. So when you're born again, you become righteous and you have the righteousness of God. If you turn around and go out and commit a heinous crime, that means, you know, a horrible crime. Are you still born again?
Yep.
Are you still righteous in God's eyes? Yes, you are. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. His ears are open unto their prayers. His ears are always open to our prayers. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. God's desire is verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to be filled to over, actually it's filled to capacity with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, unto God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Because why? Because he loves us. In chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Yeah. It's a great love. It's a mega love. That's what the Greek word is, mega. A great love. He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace, are ye saved. You know, he loved us before we got born again, didn't he? Because he sent his son into the world to save everybody. So everybody's everybody, and he came 2,000 years ago, and it was before we loved him, wasn't it? It was before we had any inkling of loving him or knowing him or desiring to be with him or anything else. That in the ages to come, and this is the purpose for why he did this, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So that throughout all eternity he can show how much he loves us. How much he cares for us. How much he wants to do for us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. So, in summary and in conclusion, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. If God loves you this much and so much, why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Why are you in doubt? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, how much is everything? It's everything. Big things, little things, medium things. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's not that he doesn't already know them. But he wants you to acknowledge him, that you need him in this whole thing. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if you have the peace of God, you're not anxious, are you? See, so he loves us so much. So why are we so anxious? He's promised us to hear our prayers. He's promised to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think through the power that worketh in us. He has promised us that he will watch over us and protect us. He's promised us that nothing can separate us from his love. So why are you nervous? Why are you upset? Why are you anxious? You know, just hang in there with God. And anytime you make a mistake, anytime you make a misstep, he doesn't care. He's willing to take you back, put his arms around you, give you a big hug and a kiss, put the robe on your back, put the ring on your finger, and have a party, because that's our God. Amen.